If you would tonight, take your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 1. And we finished up some Genesis characters last Sunday night and saw what happened to Joseph's bones. And so I began to read the book of Exodus looking for the next character. Two ladies jumped off the page, and I'm excited about the opportunity to share with you tonight this message. Shiphrah and Puah feared God. Shiphrah and Puah feared God. If you'll follow along with me as we begin our reading in verse number 1 of Exodus chapter 1. We'll read the whole chapter together, 22 verses. Exodus chapter number 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Look what the Bible says about these women in verse number 17. But the midwives feared God. Again in verse number 21. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And in verse 15, the Bible says, There were two Hebrew midwives. The name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Puah. And these two women were used of God, and they were the two of the first people we ever meet that stand up against a government, against a leader, for the sake of the lives of innocent children. And I think there's some things we can learn from them and some things that we can discover from these ladies. And the most important thing that the Bible tells us, and it repeats itself regarding these women, that they did the right thing because Shiphrah and Puah feared God. They feared God. They esteemed God in their life. They cared about what God cared about, and they knew that taking the lives of little children was wrong, that it was wicked, that it was evil. And they feared God more than men, and God blessed them for it. And we can learn a few things, Lord willing, from Shifra and Pua tonight. As we look at this passage of Scripture, let's just begin and look here in verse number 16. I'd like to begin by saying, actually, in verse 15, I think it's fascinating to me that we do not know the name of the Pharaoh. All the Pharaohs had different names. They were Pharaoh, was like the king. And here in this passage of Scripture, he's referred to as the king of Egypt and Pharaoh, which would be the same thing. But his actual name and the specific Pharaoh that we're dealing with here is not mentioned. But God sees fit and sees to it that these two ladies are mentioned by name. I don't know if you've ever gotten this. Any of you that's graduated from high school or college recently, you may have. There's this publication in the country, and it's called Who's Who. And what Who's Who is, as far as I'm concerned, is some kind of a scheme. It's just an opportunity to take your money. But here's how it works. If you want to get your name in the Who's Who, they always send you this flowery letter about how wonderful you are and you have been pre-selected. I'm confident everybody gets a Who's Who letter. I got one just the other day for professionals, and I thought, boy, this is great. I'm so excited, and I threw it in the trash. But you pay because you want to get your name in the Who's Who, and nobody looks at that in spite of what these folks say, but the Who's Who, you get your name in this publication and it means something to you, or it's at least supposed to. Now, I don't care if my name's in the Who's Who or not. I do care, and I'm so glad to know that it is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's wonderful. But I'll just tell you something. If I could choose somewhere to have your name, if you could choose somewhere to have your name written, a place where it could be seen, it'd be right in the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I believe with all my heart that God in love and God in honor spoke to Moses as he penned this passage of Scripture on the Spirit of God. He says, Moses, tell us those midwives' name. Tell us those midwives. They've done a great service. They've feared God. They've stood up for the lives of innocent children, innocent babies. He said, put their name, write it right there in the very beginning of Exodus chapter number 1. And the Bible says, it almost seems like it's added there. It's added perfectly in the will of God, in the inspiration, the Spirit of God. The name of the one was Shifra, and the name of the other, Pua. I want you to know something. God honors those who do the right thing. God is pleased by folks who stand up for right and truth in spite of the current of what is common and what is accepted. And in this passage of Scripture, Shifra and Pua are mentioned by name, and I thank the Lord for it. I'm encouraged by it. Let's consider number one, Pharaoh. As we break this passage of Scripture down, we see Pharaoh first, and Pharaoh is really kind of concerned about what's going on. Verse number 16, the Bible says, he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, he's called these two midwives together. As I can imagine, there were like 600,000 men in the nation of Israel at this time. So as I imagine, these two women were in charge of a group of midwives because they could not possibly go to every Hebrew woman that was having a child. But they were going, as Pharaoh calls them in and says, here's what I want you to do. In verse 16, he says, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. And so here's what Pharaoh wanted. He said, here's what I need. Here's what I desire of you. I'm concerned because the nation of Israel is growing, and there's a buzz about the coming of a redeemer, and there's great power, and actually the population of Israel is bigger than the population of Egypt, and if something ever happens that they decide to turn on us, we're going to have a problem. And so Pharaoh says, we're going to take matters in our own hands, and we're going to fix this. The first thing he did was he imposed great burdens on them. He set taskmasters over the Hebrew men and over the Hebrew women and made them work hard and tried to really harm their health so that they didn't reproduce. But the more that they burdened them, the more the nation grew. They're burdened about that, and he was worried about it, and he was concerned. He said, I've got another plan. I know what to do. We'll just kill all the male children. If they're born and it's a boy, we'll have the midwives kill the child. And before you know it, if there's no boys in the nation, then the women will cross marry and we won't have this problem to deal with anymore. And God had another plan. You see, Pharaoh was the kind of guy who, number one, left God out. What stirred this on? For years and years now, probably about 200 years, Joseph and the nation of Israel had lived in peace and had been faithful servants and helps to the nation of Israel. But the Bible says in verse 8, there arose a new king over Egypt which knew not Joseph. What was Pharaoh guilty of? Pharaoh was guilty of leaving God out. He forgot the blessings of God. He became pagan and unwilling to hear and realize what God had done for the nation of Israel. What did God use Joseph to do for the nation of Israel? He'd used Joseph to save the entire nation of Egypt from starvation. God had used him in a mighty way, but this Pharaoh left God out. The people left God out. This Pharaoh's father had failed to tell him the greatness of Joseph and the greatness of Jehovah God, and he left God out. I'll just have you know something. In a nation where God is left out, we lose our burden and lose the realization of the importance of life that is given by God and God alone. They left God out. Pharaoh left God out. Then, I want you to consider this. Why was Pharaoh nervous about all those babies being born in Egypt? Well, he was nervous because if the nation of Israel continues to grow and the nation of Egypt is no longer more powerful, then we've got a big problem. And the nation of Israel could really mess up our lifestyle. The nation of Israel could really mess up this thing we've got going. And therefore, we need to do away with the male children. How many times have you heard folks use, I don't want to mess up my life as a reason to have an abortion? I don't want to mess up my plans. And it's an evil thing to esteem lifestyle above life itself. And that's what Pharaoh did. He said, I'm more concerned about me and my lifestyle than I am the lives of those baby boys that are being born to the women of Israel. He says, I'm more concerned about that. Oh, it's a shame. It's sickening to me. He says, I don't want it. He said, here's what I want you to do. Kill them. Every male child, kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh valued his lifestyle more than his life. Pharaoh left out God. Pharaoh used people as pawns in his game rather than esteeming the lives of people as value and gifts from God Almighty. Folks, I want you to know something. Every life is of great value to God. We all do different things. We all fill different roles. But before I was formed in the womb, God knew me. And before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. And God had a plan for you. And God works in our lives and uses our lives. Our life is more valuable than our lifestyle. And the life of a person is more valuable than the end plan of a nation or a leader or even a family or a man. And Pharaoh chose the wrong thing. Pharaoh displeased God. Let me show you a few verses about this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 139. I want you to know some verses that you can have with you when you can understand and see how God stands and where God stands in the matter of children, babies, unborn babies. Psalm 139. David writing here, he says in verse 13, 139, 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He says, God, you knew me in my inconception. In verse number 16, God, your eyes, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, unformed. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When did God begin to love David? Before he was even concepted. Before conception, God knew him, and God knew of him, and God numbered his members before he was ever born. When does God begin to care and love you? He's cared and loved me for all of eternity. It's something I can't hardly fathom, but I believe it to the core of my being. God has always loved Cody in spite of Cody, in spite of the fact he knew every wrong thing Cody would ever do. But before I was born, God knew me. And every child that's ever been conceived is a gift from heaven, a blessing from God. And there is no lifestyle, there is no end game that could ever justify the taking of the life of an innocent child. It's a life for whom Jesus died. It's a life for whom God loves. And we should never play the role of God, because when we begin to play the role of God, we must also play the role of God in the matter of blessing. And you and I have not the ability to bless ourselves. We have not the ability to guide ourselves. We have not the ability to be God. Oh, how foolish we are. Pharaoh was so foolish. Foolish to think that somehow he could outpower God. And wicked to think that his plan was greater than life that was given by God. Pharaoh. Number two, the midwives. Now, this is the key center of our passage of Scripture over in Exodus chapter number 1. And the midwives. The Bible says in verse number 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. The first thing right out of the gate the Bible says about these women, and he repeats it the second time, is that they feared God. This subject, the matter of the fear of God, is something that can be easily misunderstood. And the fear of God is not the fear that God is going to hurt me. I really don't fear that God will hurt me. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact that God loves me. And the fear of God is not the fear that God will hurt me, but it really should become in our hearts the fear that we might hurt God. You see, as a child, I learned to fear my mother. And as a teenager, that fear continued. And as an adult, I'm scared. I'm just kidding. I do. I fear my mother. I did something just a little while ago, and it's terrible. I was supposed to pick up Mutt for church tonight, and I forgot. I think she was tired and glad that she didn't have to come, but I forgot. And you know what? I'm sick in my guts about it. It's not because I'm afraid the next time I see Mutt, she's going to beat me up. I don't think she could. As a matter of fact, years ago, she told me, I'm going to wear you out. I said, you can't catch me. She still can't. But you know what? I'm motivated to do the right thing by her. I'm motivated to do the right thing by my mother. I'm motivated to do the right thing by my wife because I have a reverential fear of them. I do not fear that they'll hurt me. I fear that I might hurt them. And I want to live my life to please those ladies. But more importantly, I want to live my life to please God. And the decisions I make, I desire that they please God because God has been so good to me. And these women, they said, God has been so good to our nation. God has been so faithful. We fear God. We want to honor Him. We want to please Him. And we don't want to hurt Him. And we know it's wrong to take the lives of these babies. And we fear God. Oh, it's good to fear God. It's healthy to fear God. It's that moment when you esteem that person greater than yourself and you esteem God much greater than yourself and you say, I don't want to hurt Him. He's been so good to me. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We forgive. Why? Because He's forgiven us. And we fear Him because He's been so good to us. And He's so faithful to us. And His ways are right. And I don't want to step out of line because God's faithful. And these women, they said, look, we know Pharaoh's powerful, but we fear God more than we fear man. And the Bible says that they feared God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse number 6, I've came across this verse and it's very helpful. I'd encourage you to turn there. Proverbs 16 and verse number 6. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. A lot of times you do what's right because you want to do what's right. Sometimes you do what's right because you fear God. And that's good. These women feared God. The midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, feared God. Secondly, the midwives did not as the king commanded. See what the scripture says in verse number 17? But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. What'd they do? They did what they knew was right in their conscience. If it be right to serve God or man, God judge. The apostle said, but we cannot help but to speak and teach the things which we have seen and heard. What God says is right. We can let all men be liars and God be right and true. We must choose God. Now, Christians should be the greatest citizens of the community and of our state. And God has commissioned us to obey the laws of the land and be good citizens. But when there comes a moment in time when the law and what we're required to do is against God, and we must always choose God. It's fascinating to me how this works. Now, here's what the scripture says regarding Puah and Shiphrah. The midwives, they just didn't obey. They didn't obey the king. They didn't kill the men children. Can you imagine the knot in their gut when the boys start to continue to appear and the Pharaoh is beginning to notice, and the Pharaoh sends a message to wherever Shiphrah and Puah's office is at and says, you girls are about to come up here and see me because something's not right. Can you imagine the knot that was tied up in their guts as they made their journey to Pharaoh's palace to give a report of what they have not done but what they'd been clearly told to do? Can you imagine? I mean, I can just imagine. Your imagination's going wild. This Pharaoh is the kind of guy that could say, off with your head. And there it went. Well, they said, look, we would rather please God than the king. And God gave them boldness, but it's fascinating to me to see what God does. The scripture says in verse 18, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? Why have you done this? As I was reading this the other day, I was so curious to get to the next verse. And I said, the Bible says, and the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. They said, why? He says, why? They said, we can't get to them Hebrew women fast enough. Them women are lively. Boy, they push, push, push. Breathe, breathe, breathe. And there comes the baby before we can ever get there. Now, I can't tell you for sure if these midwives lied to the Pharaoh or not. But any way you shake it, God blessed them for it. I can think of a way that they didn't lie. In fact, I would say that this is probably how it went. I believe that Shiphrah and Puah said to their group of ladies, they said, all right, ladies, we're going to work today. And we've got a new edict from the king. Actually, you can see the whole choir is full of them, right? We've got a new edict from the king. And we fear God rather than man. And what I want you girls to do, when you get a call about a mama that's going to give birth, you just give her about 2 hours. And then after about 2 hours, then you go check on her. Because we're going to have to give an account, and we're just going to have to tell this story that, look, we didn't get there in time. We didn't get there in time. Now, I can see that might be how it went. Any way you shake it, when it came time to kill those babies, they chose to obey God rather than man. And God blessed them for it. And here's what's fascinating to me. Is Pharaoh didn't... There's no record here that Pharaoh said, off with your head. There's no record that Pharaoh was able, for whatever reason, to punish them. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, in verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And I don't know exactly what all this entailed, but I'll tell you what happened to those midwives. It was as if when they stood before Pharaoh, when they had done the right thing and God had blessed them, Pharaoh couldn't think of nothing to say. He couldn't think of nothing to do. And he was powerless before these two women, Shiphrah and Puah, who had done the right thing. But that's not the first time in Christian history it's happened that way. There was a man named Daniel who was commissioned by the king, do not pray. Do not pray. And he prayed anyway. And when he did what was right instead of what he was told by man, what did God do? He was cast into a den of lions and God shut their mouths. And he had some friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their worldly names, Babylonian names, were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same three guys. I think it was Artaxerxes, is that his name? Who cried out and made an edict that everybody had to bow to him. And those Hebrew boys wouldn't bow. With anger and rage, that king sent those boys into a fiery furnace. You remember that? They did what was right instead of what they were told to do that was wrong. And they were civilly disobedient, but they were righteous before God. And when they got cast in that fiery furnace, it was so hot that the guards who threw them in, they fell dead at the outside of the furnace. And the Bible says that they were, as the king saw and looked in that fiery furnace, there wasn't just three men sitting, there was a fourth one, and he was likened to the Son of God. Folks, I want you to know something. When you obey God and do what's right, even in these gut-wrenching moments of life when you think, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that, I don't know how I'm going to face that, I'll just tell you what God does. He shuts the mouths of Pharaohs. He shuts the mouths of lions. Jesus shows up in the hottest fire of the day that you could ever imagine, and he spares your life, and he works on your behalf. That's just how God does. In Acts chapter number 4, Peter and John stirring it up. People have been saved left and right on the day of Pentecost. Some religious leaders and some rulers of that day gather Peter and John together and they say, don't you dare speak in the name of Jesus anymore. These are men with power. These are the kind of people who could put out a hit on you and bury your bones somewhere where you couldn't be found. And Peter and John said, we cannot help but speak and teach the things which we've seen and heard. And the Bible just gives us an interesting account that they just leave. They get threatened and they leave. Acts chapter number 5, the apostles are challenged by leaders of the day. Don't you ever preach this gospel anymore. And one of their own stands up, Gamaliel. And Gamaliel says, look, we need to let these guys slide. We need to give them a little bit of rope. One of their own stands up and lets them go free. And the apostles say, look, we're going to serve God. We're going to obey God rather than man. And God blesses. I just want you to know something. When you choose what's right, that thing that makes you fear and causes you to cringe inside. I'm thinking about our public school teachers. I'm thinking about folks who in society have to stand up for what's right, as opposed to what may be common. Folks, I'll have you know something. If you'll stand up with Christ, with the Spirit of Christ, and you'll stand up for what is right and true and have the right attitude and the right testimony of faith in Christ, when you stand up for Jesus, Jesus will meet you where you stand up, and he'll give you power, and he'll move in mysterious ways, and you can rest in what God will do. I'll just tell you the way the Bible says it. God will deal well with you. That's what he did with these Hebrew midwives. What'd he do? He dealt well with them. He dealt well with them. The Pharaoh, it's just almost like the Pharaoh is like, we just didn't get there in time 100,000 times. Oops, sorry. Okay. The Pharaoh sends them on their way. God dealt well with them. God dealt well with them. And God blessed them in a mighty way. Number three, God's blessing. God's blessing. It's fascinating to me. Not only did God deal well with these ladies, but God blessed them. And he blessed them in a very wonderful way. Look what the scripture says in verse 21. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. It wasn't a brick house. It was a house. It was a house that would continue. You know what? God gave them a man child. God gave them a little boy. And you'd think at a moment in time when it was dangerous to have a little boy that God would be afraid to send one. Oh, no. In a moment in time when people say it's hard to raise a kid, in a moment in time when it's hard to raise a boy, in a moment in time when I wouldn't want children to be raised in this generation, this age, I want you to know something. The blessing of God comes in the form of children. And it is children that God will use to transform our country and the next generation. I am not hopeless. I am hopeful. And every time a child is born, I'm rejoicing in what God can do and what God will do, what God will choose to do. The investment we make in a teen camp and a kids camp and Sunday school and VBS and the list goes on and on and on and on. It's all worth it, folks. Because that's what God chooses and how God chooses to work. Do you know what God has done? Every time there's a problem in the world or a problem coming to the world, do you know what God sends? A baby. A baby. The greatest baby ever sent. We celebrate his birthday on December the 25th. God knew that men in sin needed a redeemer. And to the answer the sin problem of all men, God sent a baby. His name's Jesus. Man, I want you to know something. I'm rejoicing every time one's born. I'm thankful. The gift that God gives us in children is the greatest gift he could ever get. When God says, I'm going to write their name in the book of Moses, the book of Exodus, chapter number 1, Shiphrah and Puah, these women have been a blessing, and they're wonderful. They feared me. He says, as a matter of fact, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to give them both a boy. I'm going to give them both children. The Bible says in Psalm 127:3, the fruit of the womb, it's his reward. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Oh my. Shiphrah and Puah, they feared God, and God blessed them for it. And folks, we should have the same sentiment. We should have the same burden, and we should yearn to influence the lives of young people, the lives of children. We should be determined to stand up against the wickedness of abortion. Stand true. Mean? No, you better not be mean. Don't identify with me if you've got a mean spirit. And more important than that, don't identify with Jesus. But stand up? Oh, yes. Stand bold? You better believe it. Stand true? Absolutely. Shiphrah and Puah, I like those women. They feared God, and God blessed them for it. Let's pray.